This is a continuation of the recording from North Las Vegas, Nevada, made on December 26, 1969. You can make a free local call from here very easily by just dropping in a dime while a handset is hung up, then pick up the handset to get your dial tone. At the same time the dial tone comes on, your dime comes back, but the dial tone comes on perfectly loud and you just dial it like it falls. Hey, the handset is hung up now. Now I pick it up. Let me mention a general note here. The 293 prefix in Boulder City, if you dial a bad number, you get a recording that can be talked over. A good number is 293-0000. That's 702-293-0000. If more than one person calls that at once, they could talk over the recording. Actually, if more than one person calls that same number at once, they'll most likely get a busy signal. But if you call several different disconnected numbers in Boulder City, you will all get recordings that can be talked over. Long distance calls go through from here just about the same way they do from other parts of Las Vegas, except that you can't hear the multi-freak. Remember, the other parts of Las Vegas, when you're done dialing, you can hear the multi-freak of your telephone number being multi-freaked out. On this phone, you can hear the point where that's happening. You hear some clicks, and then sometimes you hear a little piece of a multi-freak while that's happening, but you can't hear the whole part of it. For example, I'll dial, oh, I don't know. I'm going to dial 212-222-222. If you dial operator, it sounds just like from other places, except again, you don't hear the multi-freak. Before the clunk clunk is to see whether you're going to dial any more digits or not. Remember, you can dial 0 and then a telephone number, and the operator will come on and ask you what special service you want, like person to person or collect or whatever. Then the call goes through automatically after that. The beep beep every time the operator answers is to let the operator know that a call is on the line. The operator's board is always turned on. She has no choice of plugging into a call or receiving a call when she wants to. As long as her headset is plugged in, she gets calls as they come. The only thing that lets her know that a call is on is a light lighting up on the board and a beep beep in her ear. As soon as she hears that beep beep, she must start talking and say whatever is appropriate for the type of call there to. The time number here is 118. Automatically. They have a thermometer up on the roof, and the recording automatically reads that thermometer and plays back the right recording for what the temperature is. End of recording from North Las Vegas. I went on a tour of the switch room in downtown Las Vegas today, and after the tour I made several phone calls to some of the central offices and had some long talks with the phone man about how the equipment works in detail. I'd like to talk about that now for a while. I said on my first recording from Las Vegas that the equipment here was stepped with directors. That's not true at all. It's completely not true. Turns out that this is the equipment that's called in Europe rotary. Here in Las Vegas, they call it motor-driven switching. The equipment is manufactured in Germany, or at least the original set of equipment was manufactured in Germany, although it's now made by the Stromberg Carlson Company in the United States. In standard step-by-step switching, you have a switch that can move up and across. It has 10 levels that it can step upwards, and then it has 10 levels that it can step across, giving you 100 different places where that switch can stop at. Like, for example, it can move up 3 and then across 5, or move up 7 and across 2, or something like that. The rotary switches in this motor-driven system can only move in one direction. They have 110 different positions that they can stop at in that one direction. The switch moves from position 1 across those positions by a motor until something tells it to stop. When something tells it to stop, it'll stop and make contact at that particular place where it lands. Just like in step-by-step switching, there are 7 selector levels that you go through to dial a number. Well, actually 6 different switches. You have the first 5 selectors, and then the 6th switch is the connector that connects you to the 1 out of 100 number once you've gotten down to the last 2 digits of the number you're dialing. The selectors work just like a step selector in that they choose a trunk over to the next switch. Like, for example, if you're dialing prefix 365, when you dial the 3, the first selector will choose a vacant trunk leading you into the switches that have 6. Excuse me, leading you into the switches that start with prefixes for 3. Then when you dial into one of those switches of 6, that switch will choose a trunk for you into the 3-6 numbers. And then in the next one, you dial, let's say, a 5, and you get trunks leading you into the 3-6-5 prefix, etc. These switches work the same way. Each digit that you dial gets you from one switch level to the next. It's the mechanical, physical arrangement of the switch that differs between this and step. Associated with every motor-driven switch is a standard stepping switch. When you dial a digit, your digit goes first into the standard stepping switch. Then the motor-driven switch starts moving until it finds a particular contact that's associated with the digit that you dialed into the stepping switch. They can rig that up to be anything they want. For example, they can rig it up so if you dial a 5, the motor-driven switch will step to position 27. If you dial a 6, it might step to position 34, something like that. The positions in between each digit are the trunks for the lower digit. The trunks into the next switch for that lower digit. For example, if 5 is position number 24 and 6 is position number 34, then all the positions between 24 and 34 are trunks going into the 4 level. So you dial a 4, the switch steps up to position 24, then it will start scanning from there, trying to find a vacant line. Just like the horizontal motion of a step selector. With a step selector, you dial a 4, it goes up 4 times, then it scans across automatically, trying to find a vacant truck. The motor-driven switch will step to the particular starting place for that level, then it'll step across one at a time, trying to find a vacant trunk for the next level, and it'll stop whenever it finds one. The advantage of the motor-driven switch is that they don't have to have 10 different trunks to each level. They can have one level with 2 trunks and one level with 20 trunks. They can wire in any particular position of the switch to be the starting point for a particular level. So let's say there are very few people who would ever call a number starting with 2. They can have only 3 or 4 trunks with 2. Let's say that the first number for 2 could be position 7 of the switch. So maybe positions 8 and 9 will be trunks leading into the 2 level. Position 1-0 can be, well, something you call 1-0-10. Anyway, position 1-0 will be the starting point for if you dial the 3. And maybe 3s are very popular, so they can have 20 different things from there. Anything from 1-0 up to 3-0, say, can be a trunk going into the 3 level. So if you dial a 3, it has 20 different choices of places to go. If you dial a 2, it'll only have 2 choices of a place to go. With a standard step switch, you'd be forced to have 10 different choices on every level, whether you wanted 10 or not. Because the motor-driven switch sometimes has to move more than 10 positions, it sometimes can take it more time than your dial would allow to get to find where it wants. Like if you're a pretty fast dialer, let's say you dial 365 right away, the first switch might still be trying to find a good trunk between 3 to 3 in the next level in the time you're dialing the next digit. it's not quite as fast as STEP is. For this reason, they have to have a register sender system that records all the numbers that you dial and then sends them out again one at a time, slowly waiting for the switch to switch over. I don't really mean it sends them out slowly. What I mean is that it waits for each switch. Like it'll dial three into the switch, then it'll wait until that switch tells it it's okay, then it'll dial the next digit and wait for that switch to tell it it's okay, etc. That way you can dial as fast as you want, and if the switches are in a little bit slow mood because they have to hunt quite a bit that day, then the register sender will take over and repeat slowly all the digits that you dialed. This register sender combination works on incoming calls as well. If you dial into an office, you're not only dialing into a register in your office, but you're also dialing into a register in the other office. And that register in the other office will then repeat your digits one at a time into its switches. This, again, is very much different from STEP. In STEP, you'll sometimes find director systems in certain places where you are dialing into the director, then the director redials it into the switches. However, that's only for outgoing calls. When a call comes into the office, incoming, it always goes directly into the STEP switches. But in this motor-driven, they have the register-sender combinations both ways. So actually, when you call from one Las Vegas prefix to the other, you're going into two different register-sender combinations. Your office is receiving the pulses and then sending them out again into the other office. Then the register in that other office is receiving them and sending them out again into its office. So you actually have to go through two different sets of repeating the digits, although it doesn't really sound like it. In most cases, you only hear one set of them because the second set is keeping up with the first one, and there's really no delay because of it. In most prefixes, the incoming sender, register sender system will continue receiving and sending pulses even after you've dialed all seven. Like, you can dial a number, wait till it goes all the way through and have a busy signal or ring, let's say, or sit there with a recording. Then you can start dialing digits again, and you can hear all the digits you just dialed repeated out. And it'll store up quite a few. I sat there and I dialed ones continuously. I just dialed 1111111, you know, for maybe about 100 ones. And that machine would store up every single one that I dialed, and it would just sit there one at a time playing them all back again. I'm going to make a recording of that tomorrow morning when I get up. But you can just sit there and say, and dial as many digits as you want. No, there is a limit, but it's a pretty high number. And the machine will sit there and repeat them all back again, even though you've already dialed your entire number. The long-distance equipment here is also built by that same company in Germany. It also is completely different from any other type of switching system you'll find in the United States. For one thing, the information on toll calls is not punched up on paper tape as it is in conventional telephone systems. Instead, for every toll call that's dialed, a punched IBM card is made. They have a set of card punches down in the basement that prepare a punched card for each call that's dialed. Once a day, they feed those punched cards into a computer to do the billing. From payphones in Las Vegas and also from home phones, you can dial all types of long-distance calls directly. You can dial person-to-person calls, collect calls, calls from a payphone where you have to drop in money later, anything can be dialed directly. The operator positions that handle all this automatic equipment are quite a bit different from the standard operator position. You know, normally the operators have the big board in front of them with all the lights and all the jacks, and they have all the cords in front of them, and they plug cords into the jacks to receive a call, and then they plug another cord in another jack to make the outgoing call. They dial a number, etc. Then all during the call, those cords have to be connected up because the call is actually going through the operator's board. And then when the call is over, the operator pulls out those two cords and lets it fall back in. That releases the call and releases all the equipment. In the office here, the operator's board consists of a flat table about 2.5 feet by 2 feet, something like that. And that table has a bunch of lights and buttons on it. There's no cords whatsoever. When a call first comes into the operator, she doesn't have to do anything to answer it. All she has to do is be sitting there on her board with her board turned on, and calls automatically come into her one at a time. When a call comes in, she hears a little beep beep in her ear, which you also hear, by the way, in all the recordings of the operator answers, you'll always hear the little beep beep before she comes on. That beep beep tells her that there's a call on waiting for her to say something to. She then looks at her board at a particular panel of lights, and that shows her what's needed on the call. It shows her whether it's coming from a payphone or a home phone. It shows her whether they want a special service call like person-to-person or collect, or whether they're just simply dialing a number from a payphone, or whether they just dialed operator plain and just want regular operator assistance. So as soon as she hears the beep beep and looks at the light to see what the problem is or what's wanted, she says the appropriate phrase and that starts the conversation. After she finds out what's required, she, well, let's say the case of payphone, someone just made a regular station-to-station call, she'll ask the person to drop in the appropriate amount of money. Now, she can tell how much the appropriate amount is because a little display in front of her shows her the exact amount. The display also shows her what number the person called and what the person's number is. She has a switch, and there's actually only one display, but she has push-button switches that she can choose whether she wants to see your number or whether she wants to see the number you dialed. The reason for that is that if there's any trouble with your call going through and she has to dial it again, she doesn't have to bother asking you what number you dialed, or if there's any trouble with the billing, she doesn't have to bother asking you what number you are. You know, it saves her the trouble of asking, and it saves you the trouble of having to tell it to her after you just got done dialing it. You know, why should you have to tell it to her again? So getting back to the payphone case, she'll look at the display will say 75 cents. So she'll tell you to drop in 75 cents for the first 3 minutes. As soon as she hears you put that in, she pushes a release button, which releases you from her board, and then the call is completely automatic after that. In the case of a payphone call, after 3 minutes, the equipment will take the first available operator and put the call back on the board of the first available operator. It doesn't need to be the same operator who handled the call originally. Just any operator that's free at the moment can get the call. She'll come in and say 3 minutes, signal went through. Then she'll wait on for a second to see if you're going to keep on talking. If you keep on talking, she presses the release button again. And again, the call is completely automatic. It's no longer attached to any operator's board. But then every 10 minutes of the call, it's returned to an operator's board, and this time she does collect the money for that 10 minutes, just to make sure you don't run off and leave and don't pay. Every 10 minutes, the call comes back on the first available operator's board. A display lights up showing her how much money to collect, and then she tells you to deposit that amount of money. If you want to keep on talking, she presses release again, and again it goes automatic for another 10 minutes. Now let's say someone from a home phone wants to dial a person-to-person call. They dial 0 and then continue on and dial the phone number that they want. If they just dial 0 alone and then wait for about 5 seconds and without dialing anything, then it'll take them to the operator with just a blank display. But if they dial 0 and they continue on dialing, it'll come onto the operator's board showing that if it's a special service call, again, she has her light so she can see what number you are and what number you called, although she doesn't really need that information. Then as soon as she hears a beep beep, she'll say, what special service do you want? Now let's say you want a person-to-person for John Doe, okay? The operator will let the call go through, wait till the person answers, and ask for John Doe. You know, tell him it's long-distance calling. When John Doe gets on the line, the operator will press a button that says person-to-person to tell the equipment that this call is to be billed at the person-to-person rate. Then also, as soon as the conversation actually starts, she'll press a button that says timer start to start the timing. On a person-to-person call, you don't want to get charged until the person actually answers, and only the operator can tell when the person actually answers. There's no way that the equipment can know when the right person comes on the line. So as soon as the right person comes on the line and the conversation starts, the operator will push this timing start button. Then she pushes the release button, and the call is completely automatic after that. It's no longer connected to any operator's board. And unless it's a payphone, it never will be. In the case of a payphone, again, after 3 minutes, it will go back to the operator's board. But if it's just a home phone calling, it will be completely automatic after that point. Same thing with a collect call. The operator will get the light showing her it's a special service. She'll ask you what you want. She'll tell her it's collect, you know, and your name is so-and-so. Then the operator will stay with the call until she asks whether it's okay to accept the charges. When the people say yes, she'll press the button that says collect to tell the equipment what kind of call it is. Then she'll press the timing start and then the release. And again, the call is completely automatic. The billing equipment will automatically time the call and bill it to the call's party without the operator having to do anything. If the operator never has to time any calls, except in the case of credit card calls, The equipment they have right now can't handle credit card calls automatically, although they are going to put that in pretty soon. So right now, for a credit card call, the operator does pretty much handle it just like any other operator would, where she has to do her own timing with a little calculator, a little timer calculator thing sitting beside her. If someone just plain dials operator, it comes in on the same board, same way any other call would, except that the light that lights up is different. The light that lights up shows that the person just dialed operator. In that case, the operator has to ask you what you want, you know. And let's say you wanted a call collect, but you didn't realize you could dial it directly. So the operator will inform you of the fact that in the future you can dial it directly, but this time she'll dial it for you. So she dials into the equipment the number you want. She dials into the equipment your number. Then she does whatever, stays with the call, asks the person whether they'll accept the charge. When they say they will, the operator again pushes the collect button, pushes the timing start button, pushes the release button, and again, even though you dialed operator originally, you're still completely automatic into the equipment as though you had directly dialed the whole call, and from then on, the operator is no longer on the line. Now, she can stay on the line if she wants to. If there's any particularly special thing about that call where she thinks you might need her assistance later, she can push a button called hold for the particular line, and she can stay on it as long as she wants. But normally, she would release herself from every call that comes in, except, as I mentioned before, in the case of a credit card call where she has to time it herself. In that case, she does have to hold the call on her board the whole time. They only have four different places where they can hold calls at any time, so she can hold at most four calls. But that's okay, because the great majority of calls that come through her board are just come on for a one-time thing, like they come on for her to collect money from the payphone, or to ask someone when they want to accept the collect call. You know, she's just on for a few seconds, then she releases it automatically into the equipment, and she's no longer required. Another special service that this telephone company offers is immediate and direct billing of calls to hotel room people. You know, in Las Vegas, there's such a great tourist business, with a lot of people staying at the big hotels, making all kinds of long-distance calls. Most of the hotels now, guests can dial directly, not only local calls, but they can dial directly long-distance calls. The way it works is that the hotel guest dials 9er, gets the outside dial tone, then dials the long-distance call. The operator will come on and ask for their number. The guest gives them a code, which is printed on the dial, for the hotel, and then the four-digit number for their room. Like, for example, in the Stardust Motel where I'm staying, it's 022 is the code, and then the four-digit room number. The equipment isn't turned on yet in the Stardust, so I can't demonstrate it for you. It won't be on until February, but a lot of the other hotels already have it. Anyway, once the operator takes your number, it, as usual, goes completely automatically into the equipment. Now, the interesting thing on a hotel is, when you hang up, the instant you hang up, the equipment in the central office transmits over a teletype line all the information about the call directly to your hotel office, directly to the cashier's office in the hotel. See, they used to have a lot of problems in Las Vegas with people who would make a long-distance call from their hotel room, then walk out 5 minutes later and check out and not pay for the call, because it would take more than 5 minutes for the hotel to realize that you had made a toll call. You know, it may take an hour or so, you know, before the phone company will get around to calling the hotel up and telling them that a call had been made. And they really were having a lot of calls lost that way, because people would check out without paying for the calls they made within the last hour. The way it is now, the instant you hang up on your call, the hotel operator gets a record of the call and knows just how long you talked and where you called and what the charges were. If you people are planning a trip to Las Vegas, any of you, call me up before you go and I'll tell you how to get a tour of the switch room. It's pretty easy to get a tour of the downtown main switch room, although they don't give you a very thorough tour. They usually just have a girl from the personnel office take you around who doesn't know that much. And in my case, she tried to get an engineer to help her and to explain some more, but they were all busy and no one really had any time for it, and it wasn't that good. Most of what I'm explaining, I learned from talking to phone men later on over the phone. In Boulder City, Nevada, which is 20 miles from Las Vegas, I found a phone man there who said that I should have come over to his office, because he would have let me stay all I wanted, would have showed me everything I wanted to see. But unfortunately, it was too late by the time I talked to him to go out there, because he was about to leave pretty soon. And I'm going back to Los Angeles the next day, so I can't go then. But anyway, if you people are going to be in the Las Vegas area, be sure to let me know, and I'll tell you how to get into the switch room and how to get into that Boulder City switch room. Wish it were closer. I'd have an MBS tour of the place. It would really be worth it. Say it's completely different equipment from anything you've ever seen around here. Okay, here's some more recordings of sounds from Las Vegas payphones recorded on Saturday, December 27, 19 69er. Okay, in the lecture on how the system here worked, I promised that I was going to dial a number, let it go all the way through, then dial some other digits after that and let you hear the fact that the pulse repeaters will continue to redial digits that you dial no matter what stage of the call is in. So I'll dial 293-0000, let it get quiet, well actually we'll go into recording, then with the recording on I'll start dialing some more digits and you'll hear that every digit I dial is repeated. Okay, now I'll dial 10 ones in a row. When I'm done dialing the 10 ones, listen very carefully in the background and you'll hear them being repeated out again. According to the phone man, the impulse repeater will store up to 62 pulses. That's not 62 digits, but 62 pulses. In other words, you can keep 62 ones ahead of it, and it'll take that okay, or you can keep 6 zeros ahead of it, something like that. So if I were to dial zeros fast, then it would, after I got 7 zeros ahead, it would no longer be able to keep up, and it would give me a fast busy. I'll start out by dialing just 6 zeros, and you'll hear them repeat back. Then I'll start dialing zeros as fast as I can, so I'll eventually get more than 6 ahead of the impulse repeater, and then you'll see it'll give the fast busy. Forget, let me dial just the digit niner and listen to what happens when I dial just the digit niner. That's not quite the same tone as for a bad prefix. For a bad prefix, you get this. Now I'll dial 385-5555 to let you hear the two different register senders that are handling the call. The one from this office does not make clicks in between digits. It's only the incoming one that does that. So the first few digits you hear repeated out, you'll hear them without clicks between the digits. So just hear 5555 repeated out quietly. Then as soon as all the last five are over, you'll hear the incoming register sender in the other office repeat out about the last five or two, and you will hear clicks in between the digits for that one. End of all recordings from the Las Vegas area.